Hey, this is Kurt Isles. I want to welcome you to the creekbank.net blog. Glad you joined us today. We're sitting on the porch at the old house in a red rocker. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to rock back and forth and talk to you a while. I want to talk to you today about the 14 books we've written and tell you just a little bit about them, how they came to be in the order. My first book was a short story collection called Stories from the Creek Bank. And it was written after the summer of 1999 at Dry Creek Camp. And I was a manager, and it had been a summer that had the very best of things and the worst of things. And so I took my journal from that summer, plus stories that I'd been journaling for years. I put them in this book. I had no idea anybody would buy it or want it. And they did. In fact, it's still in print. We call a book that doesn't go out of print a evergreen book. And Stories from the Creek Bank has remained that. I hope it will. It's many people's favorite book. And it just contains a lot of stories about Dry Creek and the life I love. I followed it up 2 years later with the book called The Old House. And it was once again stories about Dry Creek. I know you're thinking, do you ever announce stories about Dry Creek and where you live? Nope, never will. I've just finished this book, Where I Come From, and I've got 60 more stories for the next book. I'm going to call it A Love of the Land. And I just have so many stories I want to tell about this place I love and the people and the lessons from it. Well, I wrote A Good Place. I wrote The Old House. And then after that, came back 2 years later and wrote Wind in the Pines. And during this time while I was writing a book about 2 years, my full-time job was at Dry Creek Camp while I was manager. It kept me very busy, so it was hard with my family being busy, my job and everything, to write these books. But I was churning out a book about every 2 years. My fourth book was different. It was also short stories. It's called Hearts Across the Water, but it was about what happened during the year 2006, when, first of all, the tsunami struck in Indonesia, and then Hurricane Katrina, and then Rita hit. And so it's stories now. I went over to Indonesia about 80 days after the tsunami, and it killed so many people, the earthquake and tsunami, and it really touched me in a deep way. And so I did what I always do when I moved. I wrote stories about it. I had no idea knowing that summer Katrina would hit and our camp at Dry Creek would become an evacuation center for the next month for about 300 folks in New Orleans. I wrote down about that. Then at the end of September, we were hit by our own hurricane, Rita. And there came a whole host of stories of it and afterwards. And so I put these stories, the tsunami, the two hurricanes, together into this book that I call Hearts Across the Water. After that, did another short story book called Deep Roots. And it was some of my favorite short story books. Then I wrote a book, I think it's the book maybe helped people the most. It's called The Mockingbird's Midnight Song. Many of you know that I've struggled with depression off and on in my life. And so I guess this book was a memoir about going through depression. And over, people contact me and tell me how much it's helped them. And you know, it was hard to write because I had to get out in the open and be vulnerable. But it was worth it to see how people have been helped. I had to write a Christmas book, Christmas Jelly, a book that's still very popular at Christmas time, and it tells stories that I've collected over the years about Christmas. Then for some reason, I decided I wanted to write some novels. I wanted to tell the history of my part of Louisiana, the Piney Woods, No Man's Land, through some historical fiction. Now, remind you, historical fiction is when you tell about history using fictional characters, but you never contradict history. And so I took, first of all, The Wayfaring Stranger, which starts in Ireland in 1846 and ends up in a part of Louisiana here called No Man's Land, another area called 10 Mile. And that's where the story of Joe Moore, my ancestor, comes to Louisiana and meets the love of his life, Eliza. And it was a joy to write that book and kind of bring to life these members of my family. I followed it up with the next novel, which was called A Good Place. And it was different because I used it to have in first person. The first person is when one person tells a story. And I chose Mayo Moore to tell that story. I've always have loved rascals in my book. Usually they're teenagers and good-hearted, but they're always rascals. And Mayo Moore fits that description well as he tells about his story about the years of the Civil War when his dad was going to war and how hard things were. That's why I called it A Good Place. It's a good, good book. I followed that up with the third book in what we call the Westport series, As the Crow Flies. And it moves the story forward. And it is the overview of the infamous Westport fight that took place on Christmas Eve in 1882 along the No Man's Land border in an area called 10 Mile. And I tell the story of that. Then one thing that always had fascinated me were the Army maneuvers of 1941. In 1941, about half the United States Army came into Louisiana for a series of war games between the Red Army up north Louisiana and the Blue Army down here. And all throughout my part of Louisiana, people who'd never seen outsiders mixed with soldiers from all over America, it changed our part of the world. And many, many romances bloomed, and it just was something people still talk about. My dad talked about it a lot. And so I wrote a book about the maneuvers called A Spent Bullet. It's my favorite novel of all the ones I've written, if I'm honest with you. And it tells the story of a Louisiana school teacher who hates soldiers and a Wisconsin soldier who hates Louisiana, and they have to meet and fall in love. I think you'd enjoy A Spent Bullet. Well, after that is when I went to Africa. And while we're in Africa, Dee Dee and I saw so much good, so much sadness. And during that time, I wrote a book called Trampled Grass. We got caught in the middle of a civil war there in South Sudan, and the war was between a warlord of one tribe and a warlord of the other. And the people were the ones that suffered. In Africa, they had this saying, when two elephants fight, the grass gets trampled. And during our time there, we worked with the Trampled Grass, the refugees that poured out of South Sudan and Uganda. And Trampled Grass, the book, is kind of a recollection of what went on. Then I wrote a children's book. I would always want to write a children's book. I'd been fascinated with the wild horses of Fort Polk. And they're still roaming throughout the Fort Polk, Kisatchie National Park area. And there's lore is that these wild horses came from cavalry horses that were turned loose at the end of the Louisiana maneuvers. The myth or legend or truth is that the soldiers who were cavalrymen with the 1st Cavalry realized that with tanks coming, the day of the cavalry horse was over. And they had heard that when their horses got back to Fort Hood and the other forts they were going back to, they were going to slaughter them. So some of the soldiers set their horses free in the woods. And Uncle Sam, a horse's tail, is about a horse named Uncle Sam that's let loose by his owner and finds a new life roaming the piney woods. Children have really enjoyed Uncle Sam, a horse's tail. Well, and then there's my latest book, Where I Come From. And once again, I'm going back to short stories. I think short stories are my sweet spot, and it's where I really enjoy going. And these are 66 brand new stories that I've put together, and I hope you'll check it out. You can learn everything about my books at creekbank.net. Hope you'll stop by. And I appreciate so much how over these 25 years, so many of you have encouraged me in my writing and read my books and spread the word. And there's a saying that a book needs friends before it needs readers. And the fact that my books are still evergreen and still selling and going hand to hand, heart to heart, it's because of friends like you that have kept it alive. Well, we'll see you next time. In the meantime, we're going to leave the screen door unlatched for you.